Good morning. Welcome to Your Health. I'm Ann Goldine, and my guest this week is Connie Weibel. She's a teacher, performer, composer, and music consultant who has completed her master's studies in piano pedagogy with an emphasis on abnormal psychology. Good morning, Connie.
Good morning.
And you live on Mercer Island?
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay. And you do stuff that I don't think people are familiar with. It is not the typical. You do offer piano lessons for children and adults.
Yes.
Just to learn to play piano. But then you teach for other purposes as well.
Right. I teach in a very different way for people that have neurological difficulties. And the person who won't be learning to play the piano, the typical way, the traditional way.
What kind of people are you speaking about?
When I first started doing this, it was ADD kids that were getting kicked out of studios because they couldn't sit still, didn't practice, were talking while they were taking their lessons, swinging their feet back and forth, just, you know, having
bouncing
a lot
up
of
and
commotion.
Down.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so I started with the ADD kids when everybody seemed like they were diagnosed with ADD.
Mm-hmm.
And found that if I recorded their music or we played it in a different sound or added a jazz style, all of a sudden they were focused, attentive, and they were calm and they could learn. So that was my first aha moment, is if I add more to it, more stimulation in a way that goes with the music, that these kids would calm down. And so that was a good first lesson. And then I moved on to children with autism, Asperger's, first of all, which is high functioning on the autism spectrum, and then on to profound autistic children, and found that I could do variations of customized music with them, and it worked for them also.
So what does it mean it worked?
Well, think of a child who doesn't want to transition. They don't transition well. So the first step is getting them in the door. So the parent wants to try them in some music to see if that will help broaden their world. Because many kids with autism are very closed. They have certain things they'll do and only those things. And they don't like to try anything new. So that's a pretty standard thing. They also don't socialize well. Typically, they may socialize with adults, but not other peers, or they may not like to know anyone new. So by getting them in the door to an instrument that looks like a great big computer where they are allowed to press all the buttons and make all kinds of sounds is a less standard way of getting them into music. So getting them to sit down, first of all, and then to play perhaps they're listening to a song that they already know. I know the one that kids all want to learn right now is Frozen, is from Frozen, Let It Go.
Mm-hmm.
So I have that on my already in the computer that's in my Yamaha Clavinova, and I can play that as the child's coming through, already being cued by the parent that they love that song.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's going to get them in the door and sitting down going, oh, you know that song. So building trust. And then having them play maybe a few things with it. The song may be going on, mm-hmm. and I might have them do some things like little percussive sounds, maybe little tinkle bell kind of sounds.
Mm-hmm.
They've played through the whole song, they're engaged, and they've forgotten that they did not want to be there in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So from there, it's now you try something and I'll have them try. Perhaps they'll play along with the music in maybe a little of the melody.
Oh, so trying to pick out the melody.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe they just want to push all the buttons on the Clavinova and figure out what it does. So it becomes their playground that they've invited. I'm there, but they're teaching me how I'm going to teach them. So we do about a month of these kind of lessons of just basically guided you know, who are you about? What do you like? How can I help you? And then I start figuring out a course with somebody.
And so then do they actually learn how to play the piano? As like, you know, I took piano lessons for years and years, and you play sonatas and etudes and graduate up to more and more complicated pieces. And
everybody's unique. I've had students like that who I've taught, and they've become very prolific very quickly at all the classical literature. I've had others. I have one in particular that just graduated from high school last year. His name is Stuart. And when I first met him, he was 14. He'd had years of piano, and he told his mom, "I'm never touching the piano again." And she's like, "Oh, no, you know, he thought you loved it." "No, I hate it." And he got my name. He was referred by someone I know that I've worked with, their autistic kid. And Stuart came to me. He didn't say a word. He grunted. I couldn't see his eyes. He had a baseball cap over his head. And he sat down, and I'm like, "What am I going to do with this kid?" And I just said, "Okay, well, then I'll play for you." And I just made up something. And I said, "I made that up, but, you know, that's what you can do, too. You don't have to play music that's printed." He goes, "I hate that music that's printed." I said, "Well, then make up your own." And from then, we started this journey. So fast forward that. I spoke in New York 2 years ago at a National Teachers Convention, MTNA conference, and about special circumstances, special needs. And Stuart went with me. And Stuart performed in front of a large auditorium of people. And he writes beautiful, beautiful, sensitive pieces and is so prolific. So I have a CD he's already published of his music, but he will not learn anything that anybody knows. He only makes up his own. So now he's graduated from high school. He's just finished his freshman year at an alternative college in Canada, and is on his way. He's doing great. He also won, the National PTA has a contest called the Reflections Contest, and it's for original reading, prose, well, poems, mm-hmm. artwork, and original music. And he won, first of all, in the school district as a special needs student, special category, highly insulted. He was considered special needs. Then he won in the regional as a first place for original composition.
Not special needs.
Not just special needs. Uh-huh. Then he won first in the state. Then he went on to national of all everybody everywhere and won third place, bronze, for his composition.
Wow. And so this is a kid that people, that most teachers and parents, administrators would write off as not being able to accomplish anything.
Oh, yes. Or totally annoying. Or, in his case, totally smelly. You know, it was the kind of thing where he wasn't aware of his own body odor. And so, yes, didn't talk till, it's classic autistic where he shut down, didn't talk until he was five. Lots of speech therapy, lots of OT. Special school going through, and then finally integrated into schoolwork with special help all the way through. And now after his freshman year, which he did have some help there, he's actually doing pretty well. So who knows what counts for it, but I know the music was such a huge part of his life, mm-hmm. and it helped to organize his mind for schoolwork and for other things.
So it sounds like what music can do is help people's brain work better in other areas besides music, or besides what we think of as traditional music.
Well, the research is now coming out, and I love it. It's fascinating. If they do an EKG on someone, on their brain, while they're listening to music, the whole brain is stimulated. If you're playing music, then it's even more so. So in the latest bit of evidence that just came out, don't know the source, can't cite it, is that even playing 5 minutes of music is like an uptake of serotonin to your brain. So it's quicker acting than it is if you were to take a pill.
Okay, I have to ask this out of personal curiosity. Mm-hmm. Does that include singing?
Yes, it does.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Oh, good. Yeah. Well, I know that there's a difference between singing alone, which is lovely, but singing in a group is different. Everyone gets breathing at the same time. Their heart rates get synchronized. It's profoundly relaxing and stimulating at the same time. It's kind of like taking antidepressants and stimulants at the same time.
Well, there's some things that we don't think about also, which is what you're hearing is not just your voice. You're hearing the whole spectrum and all the overtones of, say, the basses, the tenors, altos, sopranos. Mm-hmm. You're hearing all that. And we might go, oh, that's wonderful. But physiologically, that's doing some major work, mm-hmm. some major healing in your body.
Wow.
Bones vibrate. You know, they are somewhat porous. We all know that if we've ever gotten osteoporosis, and we have that to live with. But they do vibrate. And so one of the things that helps is humming, playing music, and those type of activities will vibrate your structure in addition. And that's very healing.
Hmm.
I know that sounds really weird, but there is evidence
for
that.
Well, it doesn't sound weird, actually. I think that we underestimate potential treatments that are inexpensive, mm-hmm. non-invasive, low tech. You know, sitting at a keyboard is a pretty easy thing for almost everyone to do.
Right.
People have access to keyboards. Even on a computer, you can pull up a keyboard app.
Right, that you can.
So even if you just have an iPhone, you have a keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
Most people in the world have an iPhone or some kind of phone or a computer or a tablet. They have a way to access that. So it's not like you don't have to have a grand piano.
Oh, no, not at all. Uh-uh. And, you know, keyboards aren't very expensive, and they are actually pretty good. So I always suggest somebody gets one that's touch sensitive, where if you play it and you barely touch it, you get a soft sound. Versus if you play it louder, you do actually get the gradations of sound, rather than one that you play it soft and it still is as loud as if you played it hard.
Well, are you speaking of an electronic one then?
Well, this would be electronic if mm-hmm. and because those are fairly inexpensive.
Mm-hmm. Oh, as opposed to a regular piano,
yeah.
Which is a pretty big
investment.
Right,
if you don't have one, well, then you can go with a keyboard.
Mm-hmm. Like a Yamaha or some...
Yeah, Yamaha seems to make some really good ones. Mm-hmm. So, and especially if they have the touch sensitive.
I didn't realize there were touch sensitive. That's a great...
Yes.
Because that's much more like a piano.
Right, uh-huh.
It's not like no matter how... Like on a keyboard, you know, on a computer keyboard, no matter how you touch it, it's going to just type the letter.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so you get the same sound no matter how hard you push it.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more. My guest is Connie Weibel. She is a teacher, performer, composer, and music consultant, and works with kids and adults with special needs. And we'll be right back. We're back. You're listening to Your Health. This week I'm talking with teacher, performer, composer, music consultant Connie Weibel, who lives in Mercer Island and works with children and adults with special needs. Let's change topics now and talk about working with adults. Because we're not talking about like me wanting to brush up on my piano skills. Right, you work with you probably do some of that too.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. But you work with some pretty fascinating adults. So tell us about that.
I do. I've worked with the student, I think the very smart adult that understands that music is one of those things that's going to help them not have dementia when they get older. So whenever they come in the studio, I'm like, yay, you're here, because you got it. You understand that this is going to be one thing that helps you. So that's one thing. And we have great times, a lot of enjoyment. I have a new client that I'm working with. He's actually a thoracic surgeon, I believe is a title. He does heart and lung transplants, so very high level. In fact, when I asked him the other day, well, what does that mean exactly? And he says, I do lung transplants from 7 states. They come here to have him do the transplants.
Is this in Seattle?
This is in Seattle, uh-huh. Yes. Yeah. And so I started teaching his son, first of all, and they have a Yamaha Clavinova, like I have, which is a high-end digital piano. The sounds are digitized from real sounds. And then it has a software, so you could play Somewhere Over the Rainbow with the guided light feature that helps you, waits for you. So they have that technology. Mm-hmm. And so he had come a couple times with his son and just sat there and like, this is wonderful. This is awesome. Finally, he said, I'd like to work with you, but this is why. So he had a bungee cord accident about 2 years ago. And I don't know what, he's very buff. So maybe he was using a bungee cord as a way to train his biceps. I'm not quite sure. But he said, in his words, all he's told me is that the bungee cord was stronger than his bicep or his tricep muscle, forearm muscle, whatever. Mm-hmm. And when you look at his arm, you can see that there is a divot here. And that was with it being reattached. And he's had all of the work done. He's done physical therapy. But he's just finding that it's not getting back to normal. And he says, I've tried the physical therapy. He says, part of it is psychosomatic, which means that when he thinks about it, like, oh, it's got to get better, then it shuts down and it locks and it tremors. So he says, I just want to explore with you a way that we can do piano where it gets, he says, I've got a feeling if I get my mind off of this, it'll work. And he says, you have to understand that for me as a doctor with my training, this is so far out in left field. Because this is not the way that we've been trained to think at all. And I said,
but of course, he's already done all the traditional things that his surgeon would have recommended, and they didn't fix it.
Right.
I mean, he's reattached. His pieces are together.
They're together.
But his function isn't great.
Right. So we have started, and it's been we're out of the box. We are crafting a way for him together. So one of the things I've had him do is breathe deep, first of all. Close his eyes, center himself, just up and down. We start with harp. We don't start with piano, which is more of a strident tone, can be. And we just play some of the songs that are already pre-recorded. And it's not a contest. I tell him, it doesn't matter how fast you're going. It's just a matter of relaxing and placing your fingers. And so as he's been doing that, he says, you know, it's strange, but in 2 weeks, I'm already starting to feel much more relaxed. He says, I feel like not only when I'm playing, you know, I can play for 2 or 3 minutes without my hand locking up. And he says, then I know what to do, which is to just swing it back and forth, breathe deep, let it relax, then try it again. And it's not about the physical therapy. It's about having the music come in and just working with it. And he says, and then the output is much better because I'm hearing beautiful music instead of thinking about whether this is working on with my hand. So we're in the beginning stages, but he is now also learning to play and read music because that is the other part of it he wanted to do. So we're using a method book as the guide to help with his rehabilitation of his hand.
God, that is exciting.
Yeah, isn't that just...
That's so different.
So I could say, yes, I'm teaching him how to play the piano using a beginning book, but it's so not that. It's flipped. It's the opposite way. And that just makes it really fascinating to me.
Now, before we came on today, you were talking about working with people with Parkinson's.
Yes.
And tell me about that.
Well, I've been referred a few men that have Parkinson's. Because they had done some reading that music would help them to slow down the process.
And not just listening to music.
No, playing.
Playing music. Okay.
So one of them was fairly elderly. And he's one that loves all new computers and gadgets. And he wanted to trade in his upright piano for a Yamaha Klavanova, which is both cases. They both got Yamaha Klavanovas. Then they were referred to me. And so I've started him on same kind of thing, reading music, playing these songs. And the joy he gets from it is helping him become clearer. And he just loved it. There's also a program I've been trained in called Yamaha Klavanova Connection. And that is specifically been designed for the elderly population, where they sit down, there's like beautiful music that plays. It's all about deep breathing, first of all, about moving, a little bit of sitting on the seat, doing a few seated yoga poses while you listen to this music. And then you might do some drumming along with the music. There's other songs that were geared for population that's probably 60 to 80 right now, some of the old 50s and 60s songs that they can play along with. And then there's a free form where they can just make up their own song with just things in the background. And then deep breathing again, and then you're done in 30 minutes. And without going into it too much, this was part of a clinical study 10 years ago. What they found was this is when DNA, we were able to take your blood, chart out a person's DNA. So they did this. It was a 6-week test study. 1/3 of the group sat and socialized. 1/3 of the group played games like Scrabble, games that are mind stimulating. 1/3 every day did an hour on the Klavanova with this program. And it went by levels. It went up in levels. So as you were done with one level, you could keep going up. So after, took their blood beforehand, charted their DNA, and then 6 weeks later, they did the same process. What they found was the group that socialized, some of their and I've forgotten what they're called, their
MEMS?
MEMS, yeah. They had deteriorated more, as is going to be the case. The group that did the games deteriorated a slight bit, but not as much, because they were thinking, they were active, they were socializing, they were learning, they were playing Scrabble. The group that played music, and this stunned me, the group that played the music every day for 6 weeks, they had areas where their DNA repaired itself.
Wow.
Repaired itself.
Wow.
I didn't know that was even possible. So when I got a hold of that research, and I've actually personally know the doctor that did this research now. He runs the Yamaha Music and Wellness Institute. Anyway, getting to talk to him, and then we've been connected with my research too, it's just, I am so blown away of the power of music. So that spurs more research and more finding areas where people reported about healing. To me, this is like an unending task that it's just so enjoyable because it really does heal people.
Well, you know what's sad is that when people are given a Parkinson's diagnosis or a dementia diagnosis, the first thing that they're done for them is their medications are thrown at them.
Yes.
And they tell them, you know, this might help some, slow down the deterioration. But nobody's ever told to engage in music.
Right.
Making music. And it's interesting. You know, most of the people in the North Coast Chorale are over 60, and mm-hmm. we have quite a few that are close, that are over 70. And they're all incredibly capable. And I'm one, you know.
They are. I mean, having spent some time with a group playing the organ for the three concerts that were just here, I observe, you know, I watch, I go, oh, yeah. There's a lot of smart people that are
there's
clicking.
No dementia. There's no tremors. There's none of that. So the people that are engaged in music, I mean, it certainly doesn't have to be a keyboard. There are lots of musicians in this town that are of all different ages.
Right.
Don't dump your music. Keep music in your life seems to be like one of the messages.
Right. Guitarists and mm-hmm. all kinds of people have different instruments. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. And so with the Parkinson's patients, the tremors are less, right?
The tremors are less. It's not a cure-all.
Well, nothing is a cure-all.
Right.
But if you actually repair your DNA down the road, you might.
Yes, you might.
Yeah. I mean, 6 weeks is a pretty pathetic study.
Yes.
It's enough to know that more research should be done.
That's right, yeah.
You said 10 years ago?
This was 10 years ago.
Has there been a follow-up?
I have to check on that.
I hope so.
Yeah.
We need a longer-term study.
I've been so busy with my own autism things, I need to get back into some of that again, too, and understand.
That would be fun to see if there's other stuff.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's talk about other things that you do.
Okay. Well, I do teach a large studio. So I have 50 students that I teach. Out of that 50, 30 of them are autistic.
Uh-huh.
They come from all over the Seattle, Bellevue area. I have a mother that has 3 children. She's originally from Nigeria. And she comes from Puyallup, which is about 25 miles away. Once a week with her 3 children, 3 beautiful children, 1 girl and then 2 boys, both of them are autistic. And so we have the lessons. One is taught in a typical manner and the other 2 are more of the adaptive, we call it adaptive piano in that way. So I do a lot of lessons. I have some kids that go on to competitions that are very, very good. I compose music, and I do have a CD out. It's called Journeys of the Heart. You can find it on iTunes or CD Baby, or I actually have some here. So if anybody's ever interested, I'll find a place I could have them be locally. And it is all intuitive music, original. I call it soul streaming. I sit down. I feel a song coming on. Maybe I'm sad, or I'm just like in a pensive mood, hit the record button and play a song. And because I'm a musician and I play all kinds of music, what happened for me was eventually each song came out and I didn't have to fix anything. It was like if you sit down at your computer and you journal and what you like what you wrote, like you really like it well enough that you want others to read it, that's what happened with these songs. So I've done this for years and years, and finally my kids go, Mom, aren't you ever going to publish this and get this out? People need to hear this. And I said, really? And they said, oh, yeah, this would be really good for other people. So my first one has 20 pieces on it. You get a lot of bang for your buck. And they're all different kinds of moods, from first snowfall to, you know, sadness and, you know, I raised 4 kids by myself as a single parent. So I've got a few of those that I was processing my own feelings through the music. And what I found is that people really enjoy that. They hear that a lot. They want this for their own processing. And I've had about 4 or 5 men ask me to do another one. Men say, would you please come out with another CD? Because I need more of your music. So I am putting out another one. It's going to be ready in about another month.
Wow.
So I have the rough draft copy I sent to one of the men to say, okay, you're going to be my critic. So you listen to this.
Wow. Okay. So give us your website and how people could get in touch with you.
I have 2 websites. Mm-hmm. One is Connie Weibel Music. Fairly easy. And so you do have to learn how to spell my name. WIB as in boy, LE. And on that one, you'll be able to buy my music. I'm going to be blogging on that and different activities coming up. Mm-hmm. The second one is Mercer Island Music. That one has been established for about 3 years. That has some of the other things I do. I did find, I was a founder of a music creativity camp. This is our 11th year. And so all the information about the camp is on there. I would love to start one here in Astoria. I think that we need some, I say we because I just love this area, but it'd be really nice to do a creative camp for kids or adults here also.
That is a great idea. Thank you so much for coming in. I'm so glad you were here. Glad you got to join us for our concert to play the organ. My guest has been Connie Weibel. She is a teacher, performer, and composer, lives in Mercer Island, and you have been listening to Your Health.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.